Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I almost broke my penis in half.
I think that happens to a lot of men when they let girls go on top who can't hold their body weight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, by the way, you know, I will give you a gold star. Like, you know, I will give you a Duke of Edinburgh silver, a gold award for your on top behaviour. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of Couples Quarantine. I'm James Haskell.
I don't like it when you talk like that.
Why don't you like it like that at all? I just think it's like my powerful podcasting voice, and if I don't know if you know, but I'm quite big in the podcasting world at the moment. First of all, guys, just wanted to say thanks so much for everybody who emails in, for all the amazing feedback. There are some secret keynotes who are really enjoying Couples Quarantine.
Oh my God, we've had, I mean, so many emails. And actually, you know what? It's really interesting because I feel like all the emails we're getting from women are really like thoughtful and really kind of measured and like really complimentary. And all the emails that we've had from men are really like women hating.
Mm.
Well, we'll read them.
We will read them. We will read them. Also, just want to shout out again to all my mates who are listening, who are pretending they're not listening. You know exactly who you are. Everyone messaged me as if it's like they're doing drugs. They're like, by the way, mate, Couples Quarantine's fucking funny. And I'm like, well, thank you. Thank you. And then they deny it and they move on and go, God, I'm just going to go and chainsaw down a tree.
Okay. This is quite long, but bear with because it leads to a very interesting topic. Okay. Tammy, I love you and I love this email. So I feel the need to message. I've just listened to the first 6 episodes of Couples Quarantine in less than a week. I wanted to say thank you to both of you. Jeez, I never do this message gushy shit. But I really wanted to say thank you so much to both of you. It sounds awful, but I've been married 8 years in November. That's not the awful part. My husband is an ex... My husband is an ex-squaddie and is now in private security in places like Angola, where he worked for 8 years of our relationship, and now back in Afghan, where he was throughout lockdown. He was away for just over six months in total. Oh, wow. Anyway, the reason I wanted to say thank you is for helping me realise that he is just a normal bloke. When we first started dating, he was away in Algeria, so our getting to know each other phase was online for 3 months before the first date when he flew me out to Algeria at New Year. Oh.
For that
time, he was really romantic, OTT, and very much the Disneyfied version of a man in a relationship. That's how men should stay, FYI, pro tip for you there. Fast forward, and the squaddy has quickly emerged. There's a part of me that just thought, oh my God, his sense of humour, his thought process, sometimes it's just way too much for me. I genuinely started to think that it was just him and whether we were right together. However, listening to you guys has made me realise that actually, no, it's just men in general. And no offence, James, but men in general are sometimes disgusting, crude, ridiculously annoying and bad-humoured.
Wow.
I've completely realised that I need to chill out and go with the flow don't be rude, she's saying thank you, rather than get myself worked up or irritated. It has been a regular, oh my God, is it just me, question. Anyway, I'm rambling and I'm sorry, but I just wanted to say a huge thank you for putting yourselves out there, airing your dirty laundry, and now I realise that it's very normal between couples, and thank you for being so honest. Thank you from someone who's now going to chill out a bit more, Tammy.
You're welcome, Tammy.
I love Angolan this email.
Security guard husband sounds like a bit of a hero.
Squaddy. Okay, right. So the topic that we can draw from this, and let's do it succinctly for once, are all men the same? And is it just a case of some of them, you, are much more honest about it, and some of them are a little bit more socially aware about when to rein it in and not be so honest?
Well, I think, first of all, your point about being socially aware is very key. I think there are outliers... that you're going to bring in one outlier into this conversation who you held. There's two outliers in your life. your father and your mate Glenny, but we'll, you can bring them up.
No, I have a big group of male friends, and I've got lots of brothers.
Yeah,
but you come.
No, but
from...
what I mean by outliers is I mean that I'm going to my point that they are anomalies into the spectrum of men. So my answer is that men are very similar. Character traits, nature versus nurture, will create a different person. There are a lot of men out there talking a lot of shit and pretending a lot of things to women, just to get their end away, also for a happy wife, happy life situation. I think that, yes, I am particularly crude. I am particularly outspoken. I have always been around men my entire life. I've basically been institutionalised from the age of 7.
Yeah, but you've been around, let's just be very clear,
yes,
a very specific,
yes,
type of man.
Yes, legends. No.
Boarding school boys that play rugby, and yes, that is not, yes, reflective of men,
I agree,
in general.
I agree, and I didn't go to university, and I would say one. I would. Oh, fuck me. Oh, you know, you're the brains of the operation, are you?
No, I dropped out of uni.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, like 1 week. You just did all the dick, did all the partying,
yeah,
and left.
Literally,
God, is that,
yeah,
the time? Mum, Dad, oh, how's university going? Well, you know.
Can I put my foot on you?
Of course you can. And no, I think, to be honest with you, that yes, I didn't go to university, so I am not the most rounded person. And actually, you've taught me to be much more rounded. I don't have any female friends.
I
do now.
Since
yes,
you've retired,
yes,
enough.
But it's also harder to have female friends when you've objectified women, because women, for me, when I was at school and most boarding schools and armed services and everything else, I know women are in the armed services. No, but you have a very
male. You weren't in the armed services.
No,
what
I'm giving an example
about?
Of people like boarding school, like male orientated sports teams, boarding school,
I've got
armed forces.
In the armed forces, and I don't think they're similar to you
right,
at all.
Yes, I mean, listen, they'll say anything to get into your fucking knickers, Chloe. Wake up.
They
men,
can,
men,
as long as they're in uniform.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Officer and a gentleman. Joe. Yeah. Anyone in a uniform, you'll
not
take
Joe.
Fireman, postman, postman Pat. Anyway, so my point is that, yeah, I have had that. And to be honest with you, it has meant that I have a certain view. And I've always objectified women in a sexual way because I didn't have female friends. We didn't have that. When I think we go to university, yeah, and out of those things, you have female friends, start broadening your horizon, you start seeing things differently. And I have become a lot less of a misogynist, a lot less of... you know, and I see women very differently, and I'm obviously married, very happily married, so I'm not objectifying women into sex. Why is your nose growing? So I think yes, but I do think that men are pretty similar in my experience. But I also find that when men are around women, they put on this pretense. I've never been good at it. I was universally hated by all my teammates, wives, and partners because I just would say whatever I was going to say, whether they're there or not. And I also
no, because
think,
you would yell at them for getting into relationships.
No,
because
no.
You were single.
No,
and hateful because you'd gone through a horrible breakup. So then you all your teammates had to be single
no,
with you.
I used to bollock them for putting really cheesy, shitty photos up there and like being absolutely dominated. There's one bloke who's a teammate who like talks about I just can't even bring it up. But
yeah.
But anyway, so my point is that I think men also do fib a lot. I think at least that guy, yeah, the guy's in an arm, is in a difficult job. He's quite crude. Women, you're not going to understand that. But I don't think all groups of sexes can be labelled the same. I think that's wrong. But we do have a lot of very similar traits, as do bloody women.
Mm. I think, okay, so as I said, I have a very big group of male friends. And I have...
That's what you're calling them now, is it?
Well, you can't even comprehend it because you went to all-boys boarding school, you're like rugby boys.
I don't get the whole having friends with women thing.
That's a different topic. So we can talk about that after. But I have a big group of male friends, none of whom I've slept with, FYI. Fact. Why are you looking at me like that? None of whom I've slept with. Fact. And I also have older brothers, and I went to a mixed school of growing up first in Manchester and then in London, so I'm like a city girl, meaning that I have a very diverse view of people and society, right?
Yeah.
You, by contrast, went to an all boys boarding school,
yeah,
and then went straight out of school into rugby. Like you said,
actually,
we did have
girls in the last 2 years, but they weren't interested in me.
No,
and then me and my mate made a porno, which really didn't go down well, so they were even less interested
it's
in
funny
me.
Funny how that story changes every time you tell it.
Why? Well,
so you did make a porno.
It's a joke. We're making it up. It's actually in my book, What a Flanker, that's out now, by the way, which you should look into. The truth is there. I didn't make any porno, but every fuckhead thinks I did, so I'm just rolling with the stereotypes.
Anyway, so I think that all men, I will say, the nurture part, obviously, this is obviously goes without saying, the nurture part is different for all of you. And that has a huge impact on how you develop as men and how you are with women and in a relationship and how you view things. So the nurture part is important. However, I would agree that, yes, by nature, men are different. They do see things differently. I think, you know, they obviously I think you go through a phase, and I don't know how long it lasts. I read a really interesting quote. I can't remember who it was by. It was it was like a classic novelist. And he basically said that he stopped thinking with his dick in his 60s. And he looked back in hindsight on that whole period of his life from, you know, adolescence all the way up to kind of middle age, and was like, holy shit, I was ruled by my penis. Yeah. And I think that that is very much nature, the nature of a man. But I do think that James, you are, and Tammy, your husband, sounds like a very much one end of the spectrum of that barometer of man, who is kind of offensive, thinks with his dick, slightly like doesn't really know when to not say things to you, which I am with you, babe. Like, the amount of times James will talk or say something and I literally have to like dig my nails into my hand because I'm like, that is so sexist, or like, that is so offensive. But I know that he is, like I say, on that kind of end of the spectrum of man, and I have to remind myself that I knew that when I married him, and I have to suck it up. Yeah. But on the other end, by contrast, I will say this. I have friends and family members who are nothing like you, and they're men who would never dream of saying some of the stuff that you say to a woman, not because they're scared that it's too honest or like they're trying to hide their, you know, their shameful self, but because they genuinely don't think
like that. No, I agree with that.
But then I do think there are liars as well. So James and I recently got really drunk with a friend of ours, and I said to him, like, did you ever cheat on his ex? And he was like, no, never. And James was stood behind him shaking his head like, lying.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's lying. Fucking hell, Chloe.
That has actually happened two or three times.
Are you serious? Maybe I'm a fucking snitch.
No, because
I think
that you want men to be as honest as you, and I think that's a good thing.
No. I think, look, let's be very clear. If in an argument, you know, do people cross boundaries, and some men would say things and others don't? 100%. Sometimes I say what I say to my friends, what I say in an argument, unanimously, you can't say that. So that box it off.
Oh my God. Even Dozer, yes, who is kind of going to come on the podcast at some point, has said to James before, in front of me, poor you, they're like, mate, can't say that.
Yes, agreed. So box that part off. In terms of what you say in an argument, boundaries, are men the same? No. Take that out in terms of the way men view women and the way men operate and talk amongst each other versus how they talk in front of girls. There is a lot of a universal strand, because I've seen people that you respect behind closed will say something like, oh, bloody women, like, roll your eyes and cry.
Do you think you would be different if you'd gone to a mixed school?
Yes. I don't want to send my children to a boys' only school. What I mean by that is that if my only exposure to girls was at a disco, or they're always going to be sex objects. There was no comparison. There was no, like, friends. There was no, like...
So how do you deal with that now that you're married?
I'm married. That's first and foremost. But I don't... But what I don't pretend is that, like, you talked in the last podcast, I don't see a fit woman, or I don't see a fit man.
No, I don't care if you see...
But I just... It's when, you know... It's when men will pillow talk to get their dick wet, because they are literally thinking with their penis, as you said, for a long period of time. We talked about it last show, talked about it before, that get so fired up, can't think straight, make a stupid decision. The moment you come, what was I thinking? I'm never doing that again. I think a lot of men will go, God, he said what? Oh, I'd never say that.
No,
before you know it, he's giving you a dick to cry on. I mean, shoulders to cry on.
So one of my best friends, Lee, shout out to... He doesn't listen to this podcast. He has better things.
What kind of terrible friend? My friends podcast.
Your friends don't have anything better to do.
My friends are high-powered people. I've only got three of them. Dozer, Jamie, Robbie Thomas, Truzy. He listens, that's it.
What was I saying? Oh, okay, so my friend Lee, really, really good friend of mine, he... And then my friend Glinny, we all went for dinner the other night, right? And we were I cannot for the life of me remember what we were talking about, but it was this very topic. Men, are they all the same?
You're slagging me off, wasn't it?
No, I don't think it was about you. It was men, are they all the same? I think I usually was an example of, just like I did in this podcast, a barometer and being on one end of the spectrum because you are such like a lad's lad, went to boarding school, did the rugby thing, the whole thing. And I said... I think I said that. And then Glynny was like my other friend, who is absolutely the exception, not the rule. He is like the most gentlemanly gentleman of all time ever, like gentleman. That is him. And he was like, no, but he's opinionated, which I love. He was like, no, this is ridiculous. All men are not like that. All men are not the same. That's absolutely not true. And my other friend Lee, who's much more in the middle of that, he's center, was like, I don't know, Glynny. I don't think you're a good judge of this, because I think that you're the exception, not the rule. And then he actually did use you an example. And he said, I also think James is the exception, not the rule. He was like, I think we're all different, but we're on a spectrum. And anyway, that's what I think.
But I think Glynny's lovely. Like, I absolutely love him. He's so nice. Brilliant. He's definitely murdering prostitutes and burying them under a patio. They're like, he can't be that nice all the time.
Some
without
people
doing something.
Are just
he's
that nice.
He's torturing animals. No, I don't believe it. There's
some people are just that nice. I'm such a good judge of character. If he was faking it. I know one person.
How many
person,
times have you been disappointed, though?
I know one person who's fake nice, and I like go along with it because, you know, that's what you've got to do. But I can see right through
it. Yeah, of
it.
Course. But all I'm saying to you is, I think to paint both sexes with a brush say the same is wrong. I think that some of them have really strong stereotypical traits. I think men do a lot of fibbing, a lot of bullshitting. I am an extreme version. But I also think that the bigger point to this is women spend their entire lives thinking they're going to change men. They're going to take this reclamation project, which is this farting, aggressive, loud, sexist bloke, and form him into some sort of absolute fanny. If you're never going to change someone completely, but what you can do is you can learn to behave better for your partner and not play it down. So, for example,
can you though? Can you?
I think you can. You've got to it takes effort, but of course you can do it. Like, I know.
I'm going to say something very, very inflammatory right now, but it's me being devil's advocate, and I'd like to hear your response to it.
Oh, as long as you, yeah.
Is it that it's not that you try and make changes to, you know, help your relationship with your partner when you're in a relationship? Is it not fair to say that men just lie more to hide the changes that they don't want to have to make?
No, it's not. It's simple behaviour. It's, for example, if you break it down, I like the dishwasher stacked in a certain way, right? You could think you're doing it better.
I wonder where you get that from.
I know, fine, but yeah, you could. As an example, you could do it in a different way, but it's still going to piss me off. If you just learn to do it a better way, it's not a problem. Even though you think it's better, that's just learning to be better for your partner. If you know that you hate me making jokes about, you know, women because you're strong feminist, even though I don't care, I'm mostly saying things just because they're a joke, I'd stop doing it. That's what I mean by behaviours.
You're mostly dating you just because you're a joke. Okay, now we talk that to death. Let's move on to another opinion sent in this week from a man.
Shall I read the man's ones?
No, I'm going to.
No, I'm going to read the man's ones.
And you can
ones.
Read the next one. All right. We'll do a woman and a man each. Okay, ready?
What, like a quiet night in?
Andy. Been listening to your new podcast, Think It's Mega, and a great topic that I talk to all my mates about all the time is false advertising. A guy gets in a relationship and it's sex on tap. You're up to your eyeballs in it and loving life. Then over time, it drops. Goodbye lust and all that. But why does it seem like women decide to just turn off the tap? That's false advertising. As a bloke, you have a certain sex drive and you want someone who can satisfy that sex drive. Women know this and they use it as a magic power or tool against us to get us to buy them stuff or do boring stuff like go to gardening centres. We then spend the rest of our existence begging and pleading for sex. Thoughts on this?
I mean, that is a huge stereotype question.
I would just really like to just compare the first email that we had from Tammy, who was basically saying, James, thank you for being so honest and for showing me that actually all men, you know, have certain traits. And I'm really... And then this, which is quite clearly... Andy, I'm just gonna throw it out there for you to think on. Is it possible that you don't like women?
First of all, can I just say that Tammy actually basically said, because James is such a wanker, it's made me feel like my husband's less of a wanker and a rude wanker. So thank you so much. So thanks for fucking glossing it up. Yes, this bloke is... So what is his name?
Andy.
Right, Andy. Right, first of all, there's nothing wrong with going to a fucking gardening centre, Andy. Grow up. Gardening centres are great,
like
especially with the small cafes
centers.
They have.
They're
like,
cold. I mean, I don't mind going in the summer, but in the winter, they're very cold.
Well, yeah, fine. I mean,
they're not cosy.
I don't
there's
think
no
it's a problem.
No,
if there's an old tea room They're cosy at garden centres. Great Welsh rarebit. Kate, I used to go with one to Moss End Garden Centre with my grandma. It was like really nice. She's dead now. So we talked about having sex in her astral, which I watched that clip back and even I was like, oh my God, I'm such an arsehole. Okay, so first of all, I make this is a massive stereotype, classic thing where, you know, the old adage and old stereotype that men are desperate to have sex, women control the keys to the the fanny cabinet.
And, to the fanny cabinet.
And won't hand it out. And when they first start a relationship, gets really fired up and then they don't have sex. I think that's an old type way of thinking, and it kind of denies the fact that what the world we live in now, where everybody's on Tinder, Bumble, Raya, all these other apps, that women are basically pardon?
They should change the name of Bumble to Bumhole. Sorry,
that's Gary. A very niche thing you were ordering around.
Not that niche. Wow, Mr. Evil Angel porn. Whoa,
know what you're talking about? So I think, you know, the fact that we had Emma Sale on, she was talking about liberation of women. I think women have big sex drives. Exception to the rule, I do think a lot of men want more sex than the women often.
I'm just going to sit on it and just wait. Okay.
That's what you do later, isn't it? don't normally wait, though.
Okay, you done?
Well, yeah, and but I think it is definitely a stereotype. I think in 2020, it's very different. I think women are wanting more sex, have more sex. I don't believe the whole sex drive thing is different. I don't think I think more men have a higher sex drive than women, but it's not as bad as you think it is. I think on average, potentially.
Okay. This is like everything that is wrong with men and women and the view of men and women on sex. I will tell you this right now. Me and two of my female friends have a far higher sex drive than our male partners. Like James actually was false advertising, Andy, in the beginning, all about it. And now, as we know, we'll only do it at one certain time of day. And
but I'm still doing it though, every day at that certain time of day.
And I have to pester him to keep it going, I'm like, come on, yeah, because, wait, I have a higher sex drive than you. It's just true.
No, I have a really high sex drive, but you're annoying as fuck, so I sometimes don't want to have sex, and it's bedtime.
Okay, fine. So anyway, I have a higher sex drive than James, and that can be said for a few of my friends, and I'll tell you what perpetuating this stereotype does. It makes women feel like shit when they have a higher sex drive than their partner, because it makes you think, like, it's you. Like, well, hang on, all men want to have sex all the time. Why doesn't he want to have sex with me all the time? And it's a horrible learning curve to go through that me and a few of my friends have had to go through. Men v. women in terms of sex drive and quote-unquote false advertising. It is simply some people have a higher sex drive than other people, regardless of gender. And also in a relationship, some people just get a bit complacent and get a bit bored and aren't really that into it anymore. And some people can keep it going and are super into it. And it's got nothing to do with gender. This is a complete gender stereotype and it's completely inaccurate. And it's got everything to do with individual sex drive.
I also think that where these men like Andy go wrong, right, is it why would you not put your energy into making your sex life better?
Yeah,
why would
I agree.
Why would you not sit down and say, I have a bit more of a desire, or I have a perceived more of a desire. What can I do to make you more interested in it? What do you need? Yeah. What you said on Emma's podcast about, you know, and what she says about the little text messages, a little thing. You know, it's not false advertising. You don't just want to go and have one. Look, there are manipulative people on both sides. Or you know some girls who have told you categorically, I wouldn't cause any arguments. I wouldn't say anything. I'd give him whatever he wants until I got the ring, I've got the baby, and I got the thing. And then suddenly it's like, ba-boom, shut us down. No, you're not going out. No, you're not doing this. No, you're not doing that.
I think you would have a better relationship experience if you did have a woman like that, who is a bit more like, you know what? I won't say anything. I'll just angle my way closer to getting what I want out of the situation. And I actually think that's a brilliant way to be. Clearly, as I'm sure everyone has gathered from listening to Cuffers Quarantine, I've got a fucking mouth on me. And if I don't like the way that you're being, I'll fucking tell you. And I'm sure, as people have also gathered, you've got a mouthpiece on you. And that's why when I tell you that I don't like something you're doing, World War III ensues.
But we have a healthy debate.
We have a very unhealthy arguing system, but we're working on it.
Yes.
But what I would say is that some gender stereotypes are stereotyped because they're accurate, okay? We are more emotional. Of course we are, because we have very different hormonal makeup to men, and we have hormonal cycles. It's science. It's not some weird kind of murky question mark. Why are women so much more emotional? It's science. We have a different hormonal makeup, and we have cycles ergo we're more emotional, period. Those stereotypes are completely accurate. Stereotyping
and you're not very rational.
Well, emotion, fine, by definition, right, is a different category to rationality, because that's why, right?
You know, it's quite hard to deal with, though, isn't it?
But if you're straight, you have to deal with it. So suck it up, get on with it, right? and also,
I've never heard it like that. If you want it, you should just get the fuck on.
Yeah, if you want to date women, then accept it. What about lads? It's the truth. Well, I hate the fact that you're so injured that we can't go for a walk, but I married a rugby player, so I have to suck it up and deal with it.
I got an injection of my ankle now. I can't walk.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that I made a choice. Get on with it.
Right, I did. Fuck.
But there are some gender stereotypes which are wholly inaccurate and perpetuated by either men or women. Again, I'm not stereotyping just men, either men or women, to make their sex feel like the better sex, okay? And sex drives is one of them, to make men feel like they're better. And I'm sorry, but it's not true and it's inaccurate, and it actually causes damage. And I know it has. Like, women, I've had relationships where I've been like, what is wrong with me? I don't understand. I have a crazy high sex drive.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's fine.
Will you stop emasculating me on my own fucking podcast? It was my idea. But I will say,
on my own podcast, yeah, called Couples Quarantine.
It's called James Haskell with Friends. but I think he should put his energy back into it. And I agree with you. I don't think it's the case. I think it is more, I personally believe it is more in favour of men versus women. But we're not trying to do that. As we said, we're trying to not go head to head.
This is Couples Quarantine.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Couples Quarantine. Now, I know, Chloe, you've been snooping around and actually worked out a little bit about what's going on today, but this episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens, a comprehensive nutritional beverage.
Yeah, with so many stresses in life, it can be really difficult to get in enough fruit and veg, aka micronutrients that our bodies really need. But this is where Athletic Greens can help you out. Their daily all-in-one greens powder is easily added to your day-to-day life with zero worry or fuss.
Do you know what? It's actually really tasty, because some green supplements are a little bit ugh, but Athletic Greens does an awesome job packing in 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, including multivitamins, minerals, probiotics, green superfoods. I know I sound like an absolute keto scientist here, but of course I read the boxes. Mm-hmm. It was my daily reading for the day. It also increases energy and focus and aids with digestion and supports a healthy immune system, all without the need, I won't believe this, to take multiple products.
Athletic Greens is one formula based on the latest research, investing in absorbable and natural sources of each ingredient and going above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure that their customers receive the highest quality supplement.
It's lifestyle friendly whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free or gluten-free, no thanks, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste. And I've tried this and I agree. I give it my Haskell seal of approval.
So right now, Athletic Greens will support your immune system during the winter months, and they're offering our audience a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit the link today. You'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again.
Sorry, did you say a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs?
Yes.
Can I claim that?
I'm sure you can.
I know it's insider trading, but all you have to do to win this incredible prize is simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and join health experts, Chloe, athletes, me, and health conscious go-getters around the world to make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, for the slow reader group, simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs.
This is Couples Quarantine.
Yeah, Rob Thompson.
Right, okay. Good morning. Just listened to your last podcast while smashing the gym early doors on Sunday. Lad. if you're not going to the gym, you don't use the word smashing it or a cheeky Nando's, then you're not really a man.
I say smashing it to my clients all the time and I cringe every time.
Yeah, you should do. I just listened to your latest podcast while smashing the gym early doors on Sunday and thought I'd message him regarding celebrity couples, if I may. Do you know what? You bloody well may. Obvious choice, Rich and Judy. Brings about topics of experience, uncomfortable answers for questions such as funniest incident in bed. I mean, we got to ask it's Rich and Judy the funniest incident in bed.
Oh, I thought this was for us to talk about.
Well, no, we can talk about it because we're not going to ask your parents
they
about
didn't
that.
Circle that one. I circled.
Yeah,
those.
Worst sex injury.
Yeah.
Oh, where were you going then? What's your worst sex injury?
Well, I was going to talk about your piggy bank.
Oh, yeah, go on. Tell it. It's not a nickname for my penis or ball sack.
the piggy bank.
Yeah. Or my bottom.
Remember,
actually,
we should start a brothel called the Beavery, and then we should do a men's room called the Piggy Bank.
I like that.
That's so good.
Right.
Pigs and blankets. So James, it's like he's a bit weird about some stuff. Like his like nan gave him, or his mum ages ago, gave him like a little pottery.
When I was
pig.
Five.
Yeah, a little pottery like piggy bank pig. And like he like has to go everywhere with him, like.
But not everywhere in the car, Chloe. Don't
no,
make out.
No,
I've got
no,
some
I mean,
sort of
I mean, like,
problem.
I mean, like, sometimes it'll be in the bedroom. Sometimes he'll take it down to the
Chloe,
office.
No, it's
sometimes
not. A, it'll be it's in the not kitchen. A dog. It's not a dog.
It no, was... no, he moves it around. So anyway,
I
always said to him, like, why don't we just try and like, you know, make the house a little bit more grand?
By the way,
his
name was Gary Trotter. By the
Gary
way,
Gary Trotter.
Yeah.
So why don't we just try and like. Adult the house. It's his house. There's only a certain amount that I can do to it. You know, I've already spent like a lot of my money on it, trying to make it a bit more, you know, nice, a bit less rugby boy-y and a bit more, you know,
what, the strip
nice.
Of poles and lights and smoke machines are good.
No, I mean like the check curtains and
they came with the house
and weird things on the wall. Anyway,
what, pictures of me going Vegas with
James's whole house is a shrine to himself. Anyway, shock. Who knew he had an ego
the
this size
lounge,
of China?
The captain's suite. The
yeah. So anyway,
the lion's bar.
He won't get rid of it. He was like, no, we're not getting rid of the piggy bank. My mum got it for me. It's like just a weird little potted pig. There's nothing special about it at all. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. So this ugly piggy bank has just sat in the house for like years. And then once it was on the windowsill in the bedroom. I don't really want to give detail because I feel like it's too private. But we were having sex and... something happened. I moved in the wrong way and the piggy bank flew off the windowsill and hit the deck. It was weird because it hit carpet. Shit, piggy bank.
Made of porcelain, so.
Yeah, and it hit the deck and it just broke everywhere. And James, at the time, I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Because I knew that it was like weirdly meant a lot to him. And he was like, it's fine, ignore it. And I was like, oh good, he doesn't care. Fine, thank God. You know, thank God it was during sex. Otherwise, I would have gotten a lot of trouble. We finish.
Hate fucked you for this.
Yeah. We finish.
What and did then, you do to Gary Potter, you fucking...
He like took a step back from me and he was like, you did that on purpose. I was like, I swear to God, I didn't do it on purpose. Yeah. You were like, you did it on purpose and you did it during sex on purpose. I was like, I didn't
did.
Do it on purpose. I'm really happy that it's dead and it's gone, but I promise you I didn't do it on purpose. And he was at absolutely
you did, you bitch. You
livid.
You...
No, so much so you've now replaced it with another
no,
shitty
no, no,
piggy
no.
bank.
No. I do some work with St. James's Wealth Management and they gave me a plastic piggy bank pig.
Thank you, St. James's.
Yeah. So I haven't told my mum that you broke. I mean, hopefully she doesn't watch this because honest to God, she will be mortified.
Mortified.
No, but the funniest thing incident that happened in my bedroom, I was once, actually it wasn't with you, I was you know, going to perform some, you know, going down bits.
It wasn't with me?
Yeah. Ugh. I did have sex before I met you, just to let you know. Once
really?
Or twice.
You don't perform like you
once
did.
Or twice. Do I not? Yeah, I don't think so. The professor in the bedroom. I was on all fours going down on someone and I had a bit,
your favourite, the Happy Eater's favourite.
The Happy Eater's favourite dining
favorite
experience.
Time of day.
And as I leant forward, there was a bit of tension on the cheeks. And I, as I leant forward, it went. I farted.
Your cheeks.
My
Ooh,
cheeks.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to fart. I'd be sick into the love.
You wouldn't. You'd find a way to.
Oh, I would not.
And get on
Chloe.
With it.
And yeah.
Anything
and I,
could
I leant
with
forward.
You.
And it went. And then I looked up. She looked at me, and I was like, "Springs in the bed here are ridiculous." And I don't think she bought it. And then a little bit of smell wafted forward.
Ew.
But it wasn't. Yeah.
I have a story about your bottom in sex.
No, we.
I won't tell it because it's
what?
Worse than that.
Chloe, you can't. lie to people on this podcast, but don't
think back. Think back to the very beginning.
Don't even.
It happened so early.
Go there. Go
we've
there.
We've all had sex.
Don't
trauma.
Even go there. Right. Like, what's the worst injury you've had?
I don't think I've ever been. Oh no, yeah, I've pulled muscles and really bruised myself.
I almost broke my penis in half.
I think that happens to a lot of men when they let girls on top who can't hold their body weight.
Oh yeah, I mean, by the way, you know, I will give you a gold star, like, you know, I will give you a Duke of Edinburgh a gold award for your on top behaviour, because some people, it's terrifying.
It's because you have to, if you can't hold your lower body, I think it's because
Girls love getting on top.
Then it's dangerous.
Honestly, I'm like that. At any moment, a dick's going to get snapped off.
Yeah, if I was a guy, I wouldn't let any guy
Mine was on all fours, getting a bit of, you know, it was actually, you got a bit of, and it came out and hit the bone between the,
ow.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, I stopped. I was like, oh, fine, it's fine. But someone I know actually snapped, dislocated,
that
broke
is why
it.
I would not let a girl get on top of me unless she was like lower body.
No, but
strong.
But I'm talking about on all fours, or doggy style, almost snapped it off that way.
Oh,
hitting
how?
It back, because getting a bit, and it just came out and you know, and then snapped.
She'll have a very small vagina, this lady. Congratulations.
It's you dickhead. It happened to you, yeah. And it's definitely not as small. It's like a KFC bucket, a party bucket. 26 pieces in there.
I don't think that's true. You would have married me. And then the other topic that he suggested was Danny Cipriani. That we talked about.
Got anything to say about Danny Cipriani, Chloe?
I've got a few things to say about Danny Cipriani.
Have you?
I do. I like him.
Yeah? Well, how much do you like him?
A normal, appropriate size man.
I like just appropriate
very
size.
Very excited for him. He's engaged.
He is engaged.
Very eager to meet
his
new lady.
Might actually be married, I think. I don't know.
I don't think they got married yet.
Well, she's taken his name.
Yeah.
You can't take your name without being married.
It's like a cute thing. It's like calling your partner like wifey before you're married. Mm. Yeah, it's cute. Well, ask him. Let's get him on the show.
He will not come on the show.
This is what's so ironic about Sips, is that people don't realise how private he is.
Yeah, he hates it.
It's like, it's amazing. No, I love
him. No, but we can't ask. We will put Get Rich and Judy on here, because I'd like to ask about, like, making marriage work for a period, you know, for a length of time, if that's that, but we're not asking sex questions.
I'll tell you exactly what they'll say, because I've grown up listening to this question.
All right. We'll have it more
they'll
fun
just say,
that.
Don't get divorced.
Yeah, I mean, that's a terrible answer. There's a better journalist than that. I watched one this morning. Wait, come on.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You watched them on this morning, did you? Did you watch my parents on this morning?
Yeah, but I didn't know that they were your parents on our first date. And then I went, what did your parents do?
You fucking must.
Chloe, I went, what did you do? What did your parents do? And they went, well, work on TV. I thought they were fucking people who did The Wires or camera people. I didn't know. It was only when I got back and saw the picture of your dad on the wall and I thought you were into really fruity, older looking men that I go, fucking hell, this girl's a bit naughty. And then I realised you was your dad. And then it dawned on me, Maidley. You do like an older man?
And also, I look like, everyone always says, all the trolls are like, she looks like her dad in a wig. And I'm like, fair.
Well, only when I put you in a wig and put a starter on, mate. I call you Richard.
It is fair.
Richard, interview me, you naughty bastard.
I even have his, like, hands and feet.
I know, that's what I really like. I absolutely fucking don't. Right, carry on.
I think we should get him on just so people can hear what he's like with you, because he handles you very
well. Yeah, really well.
We'll
get, maybe if your old dear's not keen, we'll get Richard, because, you know, I mean, I love your parents.
Judy. Judy says no to everything that we ask her to do. Mm. Everything. And then gets
no to me.
And then gets upset for that she didn't do it. And I'm like, what? You said no.
That's almost a very female trait, that.
No, if I want to do something, I'll do it.
Yes, but also sometimes, you know, there'll be times you don't want to go, and if you think I'm having more fun because you didn't go, then you want to go.
Okay, next question. This really upset me.
Like, are you going to cry again?
No, I won't cry again, but I want to read it out because I just want to speak speak to you, and I think you can all say some stuff as well. So, hi Chloe and James, I just wanted to thank you for your discussion on your last podcast about how to get over and move on from a previous relationship. I am a year and a half out of a very toxic relationship where I was cheated on and mentally and emotionally abused for the duration, and it has left me with extremely bad anxiety and severe self-doubt. By the time the relationship ended, I was 2 stone lighter and on the verge of suicide. I'm well and truly over him now, but I'm still really struggling with what he did to me. What Chloe said about not properly being able to move on until you meet someone new really resonated with me. I really do want to meet somebody new, but my heart is very closed off now and I'm terrified to let another man in. I'm 38 in 2 days and I worry that my life is now slipping away. I'd love to have a family one day, so I've spent the last 18 months working really hard on myself. I got a new job, I moved cities, and I saw a counsellor to help me try and deal with the abuse. But sadly, at my age, which isn't old at all, by the way, so we'll get to that. My social circle is much smaller than it used to be, and my experience of online dating is somewhat tainted too. Don't blame you. I just wondered if either of you have any advice. I'm really enjoying your podcast so far. I was a big fan of the podcast. Thank you. And I love listening to you both. Anna. So I just want to say really quickly, I've had really horrible relationship like this as well, and I totally understand like how much it grinds you down to that point where you really just can't see the light at all. It's such a blessing in disguise that like you're out of it. It's such an applaudable thing that you're working really hard on yourself and you're doing everything you can, and I'm so sorry that somebody treated you like that, and it's not your fault that he clearly has some really mega issues. And I promise you, 38, I understand what you're saying about social circle being small, but 38 is not old at all. It's all about just finding the areas where men reside, and those tend to be places like gyms, pubs, even like annoyingly like sports games and stuff like that, and actually like having the confidence to go up and talk to men. And you know, you don't need to jump into anything really quickly, but just go on a few dates and feel them out, and you should get a good idea of whether or not this person is another asshole or not quite quickly. I actually don't think men can hide it very well. So I would just say, yeah, you need to put yourself out there, and 38 isn't old and it's not too late, so please chill. And I think that you're a really amazing, strong, brilliant woman. James, what do you think about meeting someone new after an abusive relationship?
I mean, look, I think firstly, Anna, you know, really sorry to hear you've gone through that. I think what you've done is exactly what we talked about on, you know, I think a couple of podcasts ago when we were actually in Greece, about, you know, looking after yourself, prioritising yourself, making you the best version of yourself, getting therapy. It's really important. But having a relationship is a very difficult thing in general, and coming out of an abusive relationship in general is very difficult. So it's important to reach out to get therapy as an individual, as a couple when required. I think when Michelle Obama said that, you know, Barack and her have therapy, it kind of legitimised it for everybody.
And Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah.
And we've had therapy.
Yeah.
We never say that because it means we'll end up getting asked about it by annoying journalists who'll write something completely inaccurate. But we've had therapy on and off for like...
I've had therapy since I was 17.
No, I mean as a couple. Oh, yeah, I've had therapy since I was 21. But yeah, we've done it a couple times. It's really helpful when you hit a sticking point. It's really helpful.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people just see it as a sign of weakness.
It's not at all.
I don't know. I said earlier it is. I think for you meeting new people, I think, look, first of all, society dictates that if you're not married by, you know, 25 to 30, time's running out, bollocks. You're 38. You know, I know you've got women have the biological clock, but...
So do men, by the way, and nobody talks about this, but their sperm gets weaker and actually more problematic as they age, but no one talks about that.
And also men go through the menopause, the testosterone levels drop, libido, lid, you know, aging, body, you know, way they feel, well-being, all dips as well.
Just like going through the menopause?
Have been through the menopause. So I think, first of all, that's something to consider. Meeting people, I think, look, you know, dating apps, there are a lot of good stories about that. I think for me, you know, certain apps are just pickup apps just for you know, easy breezy
action. I wouldn't personally go near it because everyone I know who has I mean, everyone, as far as I'm aware, the vast majority, and this isn't everyone, but the vast majority just use it to get laid.
Yes, I think that's very true. I think men go into them using it to get laid because, again, men are ruled by the penises.
But you started dating me because you just wanted to have sex, and then all of a sudden we developed from there. So maybe actually it doesn't matter if that's what they're going into it for. If they like the person,
That's what the podcast you said before that was, is that there is no problem having sex with people and meeting up with people. Where it goes wrong is the honesty afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, people go, the old men will turn around and say after sleeping with someone, look, I'm not looking for something serious, or I might flag it up beforehand. I wasn't looking for something serious with you. I met you. We had really good sex. I really liked you. You made me laugh. You laughed at my jokes. And we stayed together. And you turn out to be a fantastic, wonderful, caring, compassionate person who's made me a better person being with you than without you. It's true. Don't roll your eyes. It's fucking true. Right? But, you know, what a lot of men, if you slept with someone and met up with them and it isn't right, just fucking say it isn't right. That would solve half the problem. Don't go, I'm not looking for something serious and drag a girl on.
What would you say to her?
I would focus, exactly what you said, on places where, go to places that interest you. I think pubs are a bit dodgy. I think gyms are an interesting place.
Well, it depends. All my male friends, you know, who I love are at the pub every weekend.
Yeah, maybe I was thinking something, I don't know, a pub out of East Ends or something. I would maybe look at some serious data, like Match.com or some other ones where apparently it is not just, you know, want to fuck situation. I'd also go to like gyms and events and places. And also maybe if you've been fishing in the same pool of people, broaden your horizons, so you don't gravitate towards the same sort of people. And don't be frightened to take some risks, because the worst thing you can do is guard your heart, however easy that is to do, because it will shut you off. Relationships are love about putting everything out there. And the chance is you might get fucked over. The chance it could get fucked over, it can happen. But if you don't do that, it is better to have loved than lost than never to have loved at all. Keats, you're welcome. Educated, yes.
I would rather not have to go through the pain of losing a love than, like, and never know what it was. Never have to worry about it than, like, have done it and then be in hell.
How many times in any area of life have you hadn't gone and decided to take the risk of setting up your own business because you didn't want people to judge you? You were worried that people were going to hate you. Why are you going to do that? You never would have done it. You never had success.
No, I'm not talking about risk taking. I'm saying that, like, I'm saying the specific phrase, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. I very much disagree with.
Why would you? You're telling me that all the magical moments that we've had together, the holidays, and, you know, staying at, like, Cowarth Park, going to New York, going to the...
Yeah, amazing.
Isn't
but
this
if,
magical?
No, but if we got a divorce and we broke up, I would very much wish that none of it had ever happened. Because then you have to deal with it being done.
Yes, but everybody does that. But that's the risk of life.
Okay, fine. I'm just...
I'm just
playing devil's advocate. I will say one thing, though. The reason I'm hesitant to say this is because it sounds really wanky. But so I went to Soho House the other day to have a meeting.
Yeah, right? I know. They told me you've been in.
Yeah. The guy who worked at the other one. Anyway.
Middle class chats.
Yeah, nice to know where I can and can't have my affairs. joking. Anyway, so I went in there for a meeting and I walked up and there were, I would say, 4 or 5 attractive men sat there. Everyone in there is attractive, as I'm sure you can guess. But sat there working on their laptops. And I walked in there and I did think to myself, if I was single, would I have the confidence to go up to 1 or 2 of these guys and speak to them? And
probably
I thought
one
to myself,
at a time, Chloe. I mean,
I thought to myself, yes, I would, but I think that confidence comes from me knowing in my subconscious that I'm in a relationship and I'm married and I've got you. If I was well and truly on my own, would I? But the point I'm trying to make with this is that you are not going to know unless you get the confidence up to go over to a guy who you find attractive. And, you know, people might roll their eyes, but that's really important in the beginning to at least want to fuck the person. Go up to a guy that you find attractive and say hello and introduce yourself. And so what? If you get rejected, you get rejected. It's not a big deal. But he might be like, oh, you're attractive
because
too.
It's
and
better
you
to have risked it than not risked it.
Yeah, but I don't mean about romantic love and loss. Like, that's hard.
It applies to anything. Everything in life's hard.
So
is
you
meant to be.
Think about your worst breakup.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you're still happy that you went through that whole thing.
Because it has made me the person I am today, rightly or wrongly, but I've had adventures. I had good times.
Do you not think that breakup made you a worse person?
No, I don't.
Okay, fine.
I know you disagree, but I don't.
Well, I look back at like one of my ex-boyfriends who was very similar to that, what I just read. And I loved him very much and he absolutely destroyed me. And it is absolutely not better that I went through that, lost it, and then carried on with life. I wish it had never happened.
Yes, of course. But the thing is that you have to put yourself out there. You have to play. You have to play the cards in life. The risk. I'm not saying it's better. I'm saying you have to play. Otherwise, you won't know.
Yeah.
You never would have found me if you hadn't taken the risk. And she's super happy about that. And that's great.
Thrilled.
Really, you know, and do you know what? We can really feel the love coming off me today on Couples Quarantine episode 7.
You're just chipper. I'm just not chipper today.
When are you chipper? Do you know this? Because the government, there'll be a warning on Sky News if you become chipper.
This morning I was dancing to Beyonce in the gym.
That's chipper.
Yeah, I was chipper.
I'm chipper always. There's viewers and listeners, all 10 of them, who listen to this podcast. Actually, we're getting over 20,000 people an episode at the moment, so thank you. Keep sharing, keep subscribing, keep loving. Keep writing your questions in, cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. Well done. Right, next question. Okay.
Another man.
Okay. This is his name's Jay. Bring finger blasting back. I agree with you, James. Thank you, Jay. And yes, women, do not let it go. Though I felt I had to email to say that. Yes, women do not let arguments go, and they always just keep rabbiting on about it. What that is a stereotype. Do you think that's a stereotype? Or do you think that's true?
I think I've been told by various family members before that I have trouble letting things go, and it's not great. But you tell me I don't let anything go, but you never let.
No. What
go.
I mean is, once we have got it go, you'll always refer back to it. You know, it's just about like letting shit go.
No, James, you bring up an argument that we had in Dubai, maybe 6 months into our relationship. And we've been together like 6 years, and you still bring it up now. And I'm like, why are we still talking about this?
I was telling you
that I wanted to get married one day, and that I thought, and you were saying that you can't control that kind of thing.
No, that wasn't what you said. I said to you, if you're in a relationship and you're trying to get married and it doesn't work out, you wouldn't stay in it. You'd have to, if it became untenable,
The debate was that you said that you can't control whether or not you end up getting married to your partner. And I was like, that's complete crap. Of course you can. And we ended up getting into a huge fight.
Yeah. And that's it.
It's unusual for us.
That doesn't sound like us. Right, shall I read that one? Or?
Yep.
Okay. This is from Callum.
I love the name Callum.
What's going on, James and Chloe? Love the podcast, and the angle and opinions on both ends makes a good watch. Thank you. I wanted to ask if you've ever experienced any sexual difficulties. As a macho man, James, have you ever suffered any performance issues? I'm a rugby lad myself, play 8. Classic. And I've been with my fiance for 7 years, and I've just overcome some anxiety issues in the bedroom, which really knocked my confidence. Would love to know both of you guys' opinions on this. Do you know what? I have had some performance issues. It's happened to me once.
When you tried to catch a ball.
I will. Right, anyway, so I have actually had some performance issues. There was once a girl that... basically kept saying, look, you know, I don't want to sleep with you if you're not going to date me and everything else like that. And I was like...
You said gape with me? I was like, ew, who is this girl?
Chloe, you've got to stop pretending that you're showing people that you even know what these words are. You're supposed to be a lady in the public eye. Stop being gross. That's what I married you. Now, Gape Yvonne Maidley. Gape Yvonne Maidley, the nickname. I'm not telling the nickname, right? So anyway... and I had a performance. Basically, this girl kept saying to me, you know, I'm not going to sleep with you if you're just going to go. I was like, no, I'm not going to. I quickly realised that I was 100% going to, and because I wasn't that into it, but I quite wanted to have sex, right?
Shock.
And so I took her out for lunch. And
lunch?
Yeah.
It's a very daytime vibe for someone who wants to get their underway.
I was a daytime operator.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I've told you. All my exploits. I was in bed by 7:30 most nights. After doing a lot of jobs in the day, day off, obviously. And I when I got into the bedroom, you know, started undressing and things, and I just didn't get up. Nothing happened. So much so it was like that scene out.
Were you turned on?
Well, in my mind, I thought, well, yeah, I mean, not like.
Well, yeah, mentally, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I was like trying to have sex. I was like, I didn't, you know, this is what we did. Played rugby, did this. This is all we had. We and my penis. The penis and me. So, you know, what Women Want with Mel Gibson, where he can't get up because she's in his head and he can't
sugar
do a job.
Tits.
Yeah, he goes.
Everybody Google that Mel Gibson drunk voice makes. It's the best thing.
And he goes into the bathroom. He's like, "What are you doing? This is what we do." I had to go. Excuse me for a minute. Go to the bathroom. I was like, it just would not do anything. I couldn't get up. So then I couldn't do it. And I basically like, I'm really sorry. It's nothing to do with you. It's just me. And I apologize. And then I went away. Rang everybody I know to tell them this had happened. And then a week later, I went and took a Viagra and did a job anyway, and I was back on the horse.
You took a Viagra?
Yeah.
But again, my best friend is a sex therapist, so I know this as a matter of fact. Where it spirals is when you start to overthink it, and then before you know it, you've got a problem.
But also how the partner reacts to it. If your partner goes, why haven't you come? Or like looks at your dick and goes, what am I supposed to do with that? That's guaranteed to give you...
Who would say
that's
that?
That's guaranteed to give you like performance issues and everything else. So I think if you have an issue or you have anxiety, again, speak to a therapist. I think it's really important. But also explain to your partner that this isn't about you. It's not about you. Like not coming is not an affront on you. It might just be you wasn't able to do it.
Yeah, but so this is where we can actually full circle back to Andy's email. This is the problem, is that we have been conditioned to believe as a society, we've been conditioned to believe that men want sex more than women. So when a man can't get it up, when a man can't come, the woman takes great offense and thinks it's all about her. And then what that does in turn is shame you guys into thinking there's something wrong with you. And then a sexual dysfunctional relationship can occur. It's not a good... That's why it's not a good thing to gender stereotype with sex. Because it's inaccurate and it's
not
good.
Agreed.
But yeah.
It's funny though sometimes.
But it applies to everybody. And I think the main thing is like mentally tackling it and getting over it. Because yeah, if you know from history that you can get hard, then it's a mental issue.
But also, look, we've just had National Suicide Prevention Day on Thursday. We've got World Mental Health Day coming up on the 10th of October. Everybody has got shit going on. Everybody is not world champion all the time. Happy, confident, you know, everyone
happy is one emotion in a vast spectrum of emotions that we go through every day. So the idea that people are happy all the time is like the most ridiculous thing.
Yeah, so the idea is, yes, mate, I've had a problem. Everybody's had something, you know, in various different degrees, whether it's, you know, performance, could come. I've got a couple of mates who can't come at all. Doesn't matter what the problem is with it, and have had therapy and tried to deal with it. Lots of people have things going on. Some people don't voice it. Lots of people have got things on emotionally. So please, as we're coming towards World Mental Health Day, reach out, speak to people. Don't be shy. And partners, if your partner's got a problem, try to be understanding, try to help. And remember that the one reaction, every reaction and interaction you have with each other can define that relationship the rest of time, and also can define how someone thinks about themselves. So if you have sex with someone for the first time and you say something about them or their body or whatever, or rude, that could fuck that person up forever if they don't address it. So just be more considerate, I think, in the bedroom. Remember, we've all got shit. We're all, you know,
be more, just any couples that are listening, be considerate. Think before you speak, think before you act, and be kind to each other, because James is right. We all fight our own battles. We're all going through stuff. Like, I know recently I've been having some really bad issues with my anxiety again. And it's a struggle. Sleeping is a struggle. Training is a struggle. Working is a struggle. It's really, really hard. And, you know, if you're lucky enough, you know, to be able to be honest about that kind of thing, which I'm lucky enough that I am, it's important. And you're lucky enough to have people to lean on to help you through that. Then, like I say, you're lucky. So, yeah, just take care of each other and be kind to each other. And James always says this, and I love this. He asks his friends, like, are you okay? How are you? What's going on? Check in with people. Check in and make sure they're doing okay. Because you'd be surprised as well how many people we know who look on the surface of things to be really strong and confident, who have been or are going through some major mental health struggles, and nobody would ever know.
And look, the whole idea of this podcast is not for Chloe and I to have an organised argument. It is a little bit. But it was also for us to kind of share our thoughts on things and be honest and open, because we get labelled with couple goals all the time, and we want to break those barriers down. We want people to understand how a relationship works. Yes, I'm not a particularly normal person. Chloe doesn't come from a particularly normal background. But
I think I disagree with that. I think I come from a very normal background, but to other people, it looks abnormal.
Fine, yes, okay. But my idea is to really just be honest and truthful. And whether you laugh, whether you think we're cringy, whether you think we're perpetuating stereotypes, I'm not going to play by the rules of 2020. I'm not going to not say words that I want to say. I'm not going to do things because too many people are fucking panicking. If you don't like what we're saying, then don't listen. But hopefully people will listen to this, as they clearly are, and get some benefit out of it. So stay safe.
But
stay
strong. There's also a line to what you shouldn't
yeah,
say.
Well, yes, yes. All
like,
right.
I'm not going to not say whatever I want to say. Well,
have I crossed it yet?
No. Well, we don't know. Luckily, we have an editor.
Shit off. Well, that's a great way to leave it this week. Mm-hmm. I've been James Haskell.
I've been Chloe Madeley.
And you're listening to Couples Quarantine. Please subscribe, please share, please hit us up on all your local, all your regular podcast platforms. And
next week we have a good celebrity couple on, and it's good because of a few reasons which will become very clear in the podcast.
And make sure you send your questions to cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. We see everything, we go through everything, even if it's just to say you like it, or even if you say it's rude, it might be quite funny, and we'll put it out. I'm not advertising that.
Did you see one of our reviews was like, this is exactly why I don't like rugby boys.
Yeah.
I was like, me too, babe.
Guy's a prick. Seeing you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.